The Cognitive Behavioral Therapy Center of Western North Carolina would like to welcome you to this episode of our podcast, brought to you by BehaviorTherapist.com. Each episode presents news and interviews pertaining to the cognitive behavioral therapies and evidence-based psychotherapy, containing content for consumers and professionals alike. In this episode, Dr. Robert Myers on community reinforcement and family training. For more information on previous or upcoming episodes, please visit BehaviorTherapist.com. Dr. Myers is a research associate professor emeritus in psychology at the University of New Mexico's Center on Alcoholism, Substance Abuse, and Addiction. Dr. Myers began his work with the Community Reinforcement Approach, or CRA, in 1976. At that time, he helped develop the first CRA outpatient procedures, which were used in the seminal study published in 1982. In the late 1990s, he helped develop the adolescent version of CRA, known as ACRA. Dr. Myers also developed the new intervention program for engaging resistant substance abusers to enter treatment. This new intervention, called Community Reinforcement and Family Training, or CRAFT, is an evidence-based intervention which has been shown to be superior to more traditional interventions in several empirical studies. His CRAFT work has led to Dr. Myers being featured in an Oprah magazine article last year. Furthermore, one entire segment of the recent Emmy Award-winning HBO Addiction series was devoted to Dr. Myers and CRAFT. Dr. Myers is an internationally known speaker and trainer who has delivered training in 30 different states in the United States of America and in 12 different countries on 4 continents. He has published over 75 scientific articles and papers and co-authored 5 books on addiction treatment, including Get Your Loved One Sober, Alternatives to Nagging, Pleading, and Threatening, and Motivating Substance Abusers to Enter Treatment, Working with Family.
Well, Dr. Myers, thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here.
Well, why don't we start out with a general discussion of what options are available to loved ones who might have a family member or someone they care about that's struggling with a drug or alcohol addiction?
There's not a lot of options, mainly because most addiction programs and centers don't have the proper program set up for spouses. You know, if you have to have a diagnosis typically of being, you know, abusive or addicted to something. So the traditional resources available for spouses and family members are going to an Al-Anon meeting, which is really not designed to get people into treatment, engage them in treatment. It's designed to help people feel better about their life, which it does. And then the second one is an old-style, Johnson-style intervention, which to me is kind of a surprise party, because you write down all these things that the person has done to hurt you in the past, and then you kind of ask them to come over for a cup of coffee and all these people in the room and basically tell them what he's done wrong or what she's done wrong to them all their last 5 years of the rest of their whole life. And it's really kind of a cruel way to treat anybody. So interventions really does a lot of confrontation and kind of negative stuff. So those are the traditional ones. And CRAFT, Community Reinforcement and Family Training, is fairly new in the last 10 years, and it engages people in a real kind, gentle way. So the typical options out there are not really what people need. It's a slim group to choose from.
And you mentioned CRAFT in there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what CRAFT is and what got you interested in this line of research?
Sure. Community Reinforcement Family Training is a program set up to help family members who live with someone who uses drugs or alcohol and who just refuses to get help. And most of us know somebody out there who has a friend or a family member who's using drugs or alcohol and doesn't think that he or she has a problem. And I got started in this because, being a researcher in the addiction field for, you know, 35 years, and also being a clinician, what we realized is that a lot of the things that work well are things like couples counseling and family counseling. So as we look at the data, you could see how a family member can really influence their partner, or a mother can influence her son or daughter. And so what we then did is we took that kind of information and I developed a program specifically designed for family members, and basically how to change their interaction style with the drinker or the drug user. And there's no confrontation in it, and it's a process. An intervention is an event. Boom, it happens one time, you talk to the person, you say, you got to go to treatment, you need it, you got to go. And with CRAFT, you gently talk about going to treatment when you feel like it's an appropriate time. It may take 4 weeks, it may take 8 weeks, it may take 12 weeks. But the idea is to reward the person for sober time, praise them when they're not using, and know when to talk to them and ask for things from them. And then when they are drinking and using drugs, learn to how to stay away from them or say, geez, I can see, you know, this isn't a good time. I think I'll go watch a video with the children. Or, geez, I can tell you're having a rough day. Maybe we should talk later. And basically, withdraw yourself. It's like not enabling. It's a little beyond enabling in the sense that we're trying to teach family members when to really interact with that person or when to withdraw the privilege of interacting with that person. And what it does is it starts making the drug or alcohol abuser a little curious about what's really going on. And so they start asking questions, why are you acting this way, what's going on? And then they can say things like, well, I really love you and I want to stay with you and I want to help you, whatever the case may be. And I'm going to treatment myself to try to figure out better ways to support you. And in that way, you start introducing treatment by saying, I also need help, we need help, as opposed to you're a screw up and you better go to treatment. So it's a whole different style of engaging somebody and teaching a family member how to engage, when to engage, when's a good time to talk. We all know if you've been married to someone for 10 or 15 years, you know when it's a good time to talk to them and when it's not a good time. If you've got a 17-year-old or 20-year-old living with you, you know when's a good time to talk to them or her or when it's not a good time. So we start using the information that the family member has, but they haven't been able to use it in an appropriate way because they haven't been trained. And people don't go to school to learn how to deal with a substance abuser. So what we do is we teach them the best time to, you know, discuss things, the best time to ask for things, and when to back off and do it in a loving and gentle way. And when you do that, we end up getting about 65 to 70% of those people who refuse treatment earlier to actually go into treatment.
Those are pretty impressive numbers. And I understand there's been at least one RCT comparing CRAFT to Al-Anon and Johnson intervention. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the first study that I ever did with my colleague Bill Miller at the University of New Mexico, we tried to pick the protocols or the treatments that were most available and used in the past. So we chose Al-Anon as one of the groups, we chose Johnson intervention as one of the groups, and then we did my CRAFT method as the third group. And what we did was what we call nested therapists, or we put therapists in each condition that believed in that condition. So we hired people that believed Johnson Institute was the greatest thing, and we hired people that believed that Al-Anon was the greatest thing in the world, and then they were supervised by true believers as well. So basically, we set up kind of a horse race. Which of these three groups, with a randomized trial, randomly assigning a person to one of these three treatments, could get the most people into treatment and get them to actually accept help? And so we had true believers and all the protocols, and we randomized folks into that group. And at the end of the study, what we saw was is that Al-Anon could only really engage in the treatment about 10 or 12%, and the Al-Anon and the intervention group could only engage about 20 or 25%. And there's been other studies with looking at interventions, and even their own data says that they can't get more than 30% of people that are resistant to go into treatment. And in that particular trial, our particular CRAFT method got 65% of the people who refused treatment to come into the therapy. And when they came into this program, before they were randomized into one of these three protocols, we asked the family members a question. If you go home and ask him or her to come into treatment, what might they do? And if they said, well, I don't know, then we excluded them from the trial. We only took people in our studies who could basically say to us, there's no way he'll or she'll come in. They don't even want me to talk about substance abuse. So we really had people in these trials, got people into treatment who were really resistant, who refused, we're in denial, whatever word you want to use, and we beat Al-Anon and Johnson by about 3 or 4 times the amount of people engaged in treatment.
Wow, that's very impressive, particularly since it sounds like you stacked the deck against you.
We just wanted to make it fair. We wanted everybody to have true believers, and if we had the same therapist doing the treatments, then we couldn't tell if it was the therapist or the protocol.
Right. And was there any measurement on the emotional well-being of the family or the loved one?
Well, actually, there was. We did lots of different tests. When they first came in, we looked at anxiety levels and depression levels and the number of physical symptoms that they had, negative symptoms like headaches and backaches and migraines or whatever. And what we found was is that the Al-Anon and the CRAFT group did much better than the Johnson Institute at making people feel better. And Kraft, again, did a little better than the Al-Anon group at helping people to feel better. So if you want something to help a person feel better and get their loved one into treatment, I mean, it's a no-brainer to me to try to use the Kraft method. Al-Anon is good at helping people feel better about themselves, but yet their strategy doesn't teach people how to get somebody into treatment who's refusing. They basically say it's their problem, they have to do it, let's just take care of ourselves. But we did get quite a bounce on depression, anxiety, anger, physical symptoms. With the Kraft group, they did much, much better at functioning, because part of the Kraft strategy is to help the family member re-engage in her or his social life and family life, because we know when an alcoholic or a substance abuser starts to use heavily, they kind of isolate themselves from lots of activities that they used to do. Well, the spouses or the family members tend to isolate themselves as well, because they're embarrassed by what their loved one is doing, they're afraid, they don't want to engage other people and family members in conversation or even go to church because they're afraid of people pointing at them and saying things. So we have to get them back entered into the real life so they can feel better about who they are, so they'll make a better, basically a little therapist as they go home, and we teach them how to talk to the substance abuser.
So what would the Kraft therapist say about this common notion that the substance abuser has to hit bottom?
Well, I think we've proven. There's been about 7 studies done on Kraft. People in Philadelphia did it in an inner city with different populations than we did here in Albuquerque. People have done it in Oregon with adolescents. It's been done in Finland. And the idea that you have to wait to hit bottom is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's part of a, you know, our culture believes certain things, and part of the American culture is this notion of that you have to hit bottom and you have to do this and you have to do that. Well, if you really look at the scientific information about that, it's incorrect. If you even look at the data about alcohol users that go into treatment or that are forced into treatment, you also find that people that are coerced or forced into treatment do just about as well as somebody who voluntarily goes into treatment. And what we found in our studies is not only can we get these people into treatment, but they actually stay in treatment longer than people who voluntarily go into treatment for substance abuse. And my thought on that is, and I don't have good empirical evidence, but it must be the fact that their spouse or their mother or their partner or whomever is involved in treatment, and they're very active with the substance user trying to help them stay sober now that they've learned different strategies. But the whole idea of hitting bottom is, to me, is totally ridiculous. I mean, what do you say? Wait until they kill themselves before you help them? I mean, that's pretty silly, but that's just my opinion.
Could be very dangerous, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And what about loved ones who are obviously living in the home with a substance abuse? Does Kraft help them escape dangerous situations?
Well, yes, it absolutely does. We have 2 books that we've written, one for the consumer and one for a therapist. And if you look at those books, typically the 2nd or 3rd chapter of each of those books is a long description of how to help them stay safe. Domestic violence is a very big part of, especially alcohol problems, and we know that. And so we take precautions in how to keep those people safe. And we have chapters, like I said, in the books about that, and how to protect yourself, and what are the red flags for violence, and how do you get away from violence, how do you stop it from happening. And the whole idea of looking at that through what we call a functional analysis, or basically a roadmap, and we teach the spouses how to see what are the signs of him or her getting angry to the point where they might do something. And a lot of this is something that's never happened before, because if you ask a spouse or a family member to go home and change the way you act toward that substance user, the substance user is going to react a certain way as well. So before we ask them to go home and try something, you have to ask them what might happen if you go home and don't pull out the dinner from the refrigerator and heat it up. Or if you say, I'm not going to talk to you right now, I can see this isn't a good time, and you walk away. What may happen? What has happened in the past? And so you have to ask a lot of questions and go through a lot of information before you start having the family member go home and change his or her behavior toward the substance user, because we don't want to put them in jeopardy. And so there's a lot of discussion that happens right there before they actually go home and do anything.
And for somebody, a listener considering pursuing Kraft, who might wonder what the structure of a session might look like, could you say a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We have a basic protocols for Kraft. But what we do is, Kraft is not, it's a manualized treatment that doesn't exactly stick to the manual you really go where the client needs to go. And so if the client needs to cathart a little bit and talk about the harm that has been done, you can process that. So what we want to do is we want to process what's going on, what has gone on, ask them what has happened in the past, what would you like to see changed, what have you tried in the past, what has worked, what hasn't worked. And then we begin to learn a little bit about how they act and react to the drinker or drug user and basically build the program for them according to what they say they want to work on first. We have what we call happiness scales, and we have them fill out these scales. So how happy are you with your life in these different categories? And then we actually have them choose what category do you want to work on. The thing about CRAFT is it's a very gentle way of helping people begin to deal with what they're most comfortable dealing with initially, as opposed to going to the spot that's most difficult, because we want them to become healthier, feel more confident, build in self-esteem, self-reliance, and the family member, and self-efficacy, of course. And you do that in the first couple of sessions by just talking about how hard they've worked, how much courage they have for sticking with their partner or dealing with the son or daughter. And we praise them. We use a lot of positive reinforcement. And they're in treatment. So we know they're in the action phase. You know, if you look at the trans-theoretical model, that they're actually trying to do something actively. So we talk a lot about it, how strong they are and how great they are. Now let's use these resources. Instead of working harder, let's work smarter and figure out how we can use these techniques of CRAFT to approach the drinker or drug user in a fashion that they'll actually listen to you, and at a time when they will actually listen to you. And again, the family member has a lot of information, and what we do is we try to pull that out of them, and then we use their own information to help them build a treatment plan. So the sessions are very loosely laid out, but we still try to stay within the paradigm of CRAFT, but you can use different procedures, different techniques, and different sessions according to where your client is at any given time. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, that makes total sense. A very nice overview. Right, now, what about the family member who's already been referred to Al-Anon? Is that something that would be incompatible with also starting CRAFT, or what should happen in a case like that?
Well, it's not incompatible, but it's not really consistent. But, you know, if the woman or the man, whoever comes into CRAFT, likes to go to Al-Anon and likes those meetings, we think Al-Anon is a cool thing. And for some people, it works really well. But we explain to the client when they come in the CRAFT protocol, basically, that we're different than Al-Anon and we do things differently. We have a few different beliefs and, you know, we think that they're a great organization as well. But you may get some different opinions as you go along. But if your goal is to engage somebody into treatment, you're at the right place. If you still want to continue to feel better and help yourself, you can come here and go to Al-Anon, but you just have to filter out things that are difficult, and then when you come back into the treatment session, we can talk about those things and give you an opinion. Not that anybody's wrong here, but two people can be right working toward the same thing, but just use different types of language and different types of strategies.
And for somebody thinking about pursuing CRAFT, I wonder if you could make two comments. One would be, how can they find a clinician who's able to provide this type of intervention? And also, are there any, for those who might be a little anxious about taking the first step, any general thoughts that you might have?
Well, I'll answer the second question first. If anybody's anxious or you know, a little bit hesitant to go to a CRAFT session, the thing that I can tell them is that everything would be confidential. We won't call their home. We don't send letters to their homes. We don't call them. And anything that they come into and they want to talk about, again, is confidential. And it's up to them how fast or slow they want to go. I mean, this protocol really lends itself to the client in the sense of that you can move fast, you can move slow, you can talk about different things. There's no judgments. It's all positive type of a strategy, very similar to motivational interviewing, but not using those same techniques. And there's really nothing to worry about. You can come in here and you can talk about whatever you'd like. To find a therapist is a little more difficult because we're just starting a lot of national trainings on CRAFT. If people go to my website, there are a few referrals, other people who do a very good job on the West Coast, on the East Coast, and in the middle of the United States. And I'm building more and more of those links to other programs around the United States where they can go. And I also have a little letter that I can send people if they don't have a CRAFT therapist therapist in their letter, they can actually email me from my website, and then I will send them a letter that really talks about how to go about finding a therapist in their community and what type of therapist might be able to get the book, pick it up, and work the program with them. One interesting thing I'd like to say here is we haven't published this data yet, but one of our graduate students did her dissertation on craft, and what she did was she randomized into two groups. One group got a treatment, which was a group craft treatment, and the other one just got a copy of the yellow book I wrote. It's called Get Your Loved One Sober, that's printed by Hazelton. And after the study was over, she found out that 40% of the people who just took the book home and read it and worked the program got their loved ones into treatment, which is still higher than anything the Johnson Institute or Al-Anon can do. So you can buy the books, you can get a therapist, you can work the program with your local rabbi or minister or priest or whatever in your community or a friend. The self-help book was written at a level that anybody could read it and understand it, to make it so people could actually pick it up, and maybe if they can't find a therapist, they can work the program on them on their own.
And we're going to post your webpage and book information and so forth, but for listeners, we'll probably be posting it on our blog. Could you go ahead and tell us what that URL is?
The easiest way to find my website is just type in Robert J. Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S, Ph.D., and I'm at robertjmyersphd.com, and when you check on me in Google or any of the search engines, I pop up pretty quickly, and so you can get to me at that website, like I said, robertjmyersphd.com, and I'll have information there, and you can email me, and I will respond if you would like to try to find a therapist or more information on craft.
Wonderful. And one final question, what is the relationship between craft and the community reinforcement approach?
Well, community reinforcement approach and CRAFT are basically, the CRAFT program is born out of community reinforcement approach. The literature says what works best in alcohol treatment. If you look at the meta-analysis or literature reviews, CRA always comes out in the top four or five of the best alcohol treatments that are evidence-based protocols. I've been doing that since 1976, and when I got the idea for doing CRAFT, it really came out of the procedures we use in community reinforcement approach, which is a very gentle, kind, supportive, motivational way of actually doing learning theory, try to help people to change their behaviors, because the couples part of CRA is so powerful that's where I learned that the family member really has a huge influence over the drinker or the drug user, and that's where I got the idea. I wonder if we could just then bring in the spouses and maybe get in some of these folks that don't want to come in by drawing on the strengths of the person who's still with this person, who still loves this person, who wants them to get their life on track and hasn't given up. And those are the people you get into treatment, so they're really motivated to change their behavior. So CRA and CRAFT are very, very, very similar. It's just a totally different emphasis on how we do it. We use some of the same skills, like we teach people problem solving, and a communication skill, especially in craft, is a huge part of how to approach somebody using positive communication techniques as opposed to any kind of yelling or screaming or fighting or being sarcastic, and helping them learn how to approach someone to get what you want out of life, and that's getting them off drugs, getting them off alcohol, and getting them in treatment. So they're very, very similar.
Well, Dr. Myers, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to talk about this work, and hopefully, you know, when you post this, some people will be able to help their family members by hearing your podcast.
I feel certain that they will.
Tune in next time when we speak with Dr. Douglas Woods about Tourette's syndrome and its treatment. Also looking ahead, we'll be speaking with Frank DiTilio and Barry McCarthy and others on upcoming editions of the Cognitive Behavioral Therapy Center of Western North Carolina podcast. Remember, you can get previous editions and comment about each episode by visiting behaviortherapist.com and clicking on the blog tab. It should be intuitive from there. Also, please consider following us on Facebook and Twitter by visiting behaviortherapist.com. Thank you, and we look forward to next time.